It is, I think I've not preached to you for 3 weeks, and so
that's my pastor.
I'm going to do my best to preach to you this morning. Sometimes we, as pastors, crowds, you know, and we do place a lot of emphasis on it, and I understand that. We like people to come to church, and we like people to be here. And it's a little bit difficult sometimes when your singers are gone, your main people are gone. But a few days ago, I was doing a vigil in a Catholic church, and it was on a, I can't remember, it must have been on a Tuesday night. Anyway, whatever night it was, might have been Friday night, but we were doing this vigil, this Catholic church. And while we were doing this vigil, we were setting up, getting ready for the vigil. And I noticed that the priest was in a little chapel, a little side room. We're talking about a $1 million Catholic church in Norman, St. Mark's. And the priest was in a little side room. They were having their, whatever night it was, mass. And I looked inside that room, and there was 4 people in there, Brother Melvin. But yet that priest was just as diligent about doing what he was doing with 4 people there as he would have been if the sanctuary had been full. He was just as diligent. And Brother Kurt happened to have been there with me, and he was there that night, and we were visiting while they were having the vigil, because we sit out in the foyer and visit. It's the first job I ever got paid for, that you set up flowers and then sit down and visit while the thing's going on and get paid for it the whole time you're doing it. Pretty nice little job to have. But anyway, we sit down and we're visiting, and I said to him, sometimes we go to the house of God because some people's not there. We don't put our best into it. You know what? We're really not here for each other. We're really here because this is the work of God. We're here really here because this is the call of God. And we really have come not to worship one another. We've really come to worship God. And so, you know, Some people count faithfulness. And I'll tell you how you count faithfulness, all right? Anybody can sing when the sun's shining. But faithfulness is when the storm's on and you're still faithful. Amen. I mean, you can rejoice when your pocket's full of money and there's money in the bank and all the bills are paid. But I'll tell you, can you still rejoice when your back's against the wall? That's when you find out whether you're really a worshiper or not. Amen. Thank God for His goodness to us. Amen. Oh, and when I want to be faithful through the good times and through the bad. I want to be faithful through the daytime, and I want to be faithful through the night. I want to be faithful when everybody's looking, and I want to be faithful when nobody's looking. Amen. I want to please the Lord, don't you? Oh, yeah. All right. In the book of Joshua this morning, chapter number 15. Joshua chapter number 15 and verse number 16. We came in. Thank you for being so faithful and so good. And I heard the services were good. Dad preached good last Sunday morning, and Brent preached good Sunday night. And then I don't know how the boys did Wednesday night if they preached. I ain't heard any comments, so. Anyway, thank you for coming and being faithful and allowing us to be gone a few days. I don't know what's wrong with my wife. It's going to be a sad day. She said every time we leave and I come home, I get sick. I don't know whether it's a plane ride, whether she got ear infection. I don't know what's wrong with her. Boy, it's going to be hard on this old man if she gets to where she can't travel. Because because I sure am going to miss the road. You hear me? But anyway, sharing these prayers this morning, that the Lord would touch her. But we had a wonderful time. Last Sunday morning, we weren't able to go to church here, and we couldn't find a hole in this church. So I told Brother Charles when we got off the boat, a little after 8:30 in Alaska. We were in Sitka, Alaska. And so we got off the boat, and I said, all right, the first thing we're going to do is let's find a church. Let's find someplace where we can go to church. And so we walked the streets. It's not a real big town, but we walked the streets until we finally found a little Nazarene church. And so we stood down and we looked at the sign, and we were reading the sign, and a man came out from the church, and he said, well, our sign's not exactly correct. And so he was talking to us a little bit, an older man, and he said, we don't have very many people come to Sunday school, just one adult class. He said, but y'all are sure welcome to come and join us. So we walked in and joined with them in that little Sunday school class, and there was about 10 or 12 adults there, and that's all the Sunday school they had. 10 or 12 older people. Sharon and I were the youngest one in that group, and so that tells you how old they were. And so we visited with them and had a class, and they drank coffee and ate donuts and had Sunday school class. And then we went into their worship service. They did a little bit different. They sang a couple of songs and read a little bit of scripture, and the pastor prayed. And then they took a 15-minute coffee break, and everybody went back, drank coffee, and ate donuts. Of course, I have a real problem about eating in a sanctuary, so I just don't eat. So anyway, and didn't drink either. But then they started church back up, and the old pastor said the reason we do that is, he said people used to come in late, and then they'd leave early, and our visitors we'd never get to meet them or greet them. He said, so this way, we start and have a little bit of worship service. Then we take about 15 minutes, and we introduce ourselves to our visitors and make them feel welcome. And then we come back in and have service. And so that's the way they did it. And so we were Nazarenes last Sunday morning. You know what it was, though? It was that it was my desire to be in the house of the Lord. It was my desire to worship. A lot of the songs I didn't know, some of them I did. But a lot of the songs I didn't know, and a lot of things that they did that I didn't necessarily know how to appreciate. But I'll tell you what I did. I did bow my head, and I did tell the Lord that I was thankful that I had the privilege to observe his day. I had the privilege to at least bow on my knees. They did still have an altar. They still did come forward to pray, and I had a privilege to pray. I had a privilege to tell him thank you for being good to me. And you know what? It was my honor to my Savior. Come on now. My honor to my Savior. Because I want to be faithful to Him above everything. Amen. I want to be faithful to Him above everything. Amen. So I'm glad for the Lord. And so the Lord was gracious to us. You cannot go to Alaska and come into Canada without seeing the handiwork of God and the beauty. I've never visited a place so beautiful in all my life. And that's our second trip to go there. But it makes you understand heaven's gonna be a beautiful place. You hear me? Heaven's gonna be a beautiful place. And what's so wonderful about heaven is that when we get there, there's only going to be blood bought saints of God. Oh, yes. Amen. I want to go, don't you? I want to go to heaven. All right, the book of Joshua chapter 15 this morning. And we'll begin with verse number 16 and read just a few verses. And there's some of these names that I'm not going to get right this morning when I was reading this. I really started looking at it a few days ago and then came in last night, was looking at it. And when there's some names, and I hesitated about reading all this, but I need to this morning. So begin with verse 16. And Caleb said, he that smiteth Kirjath Sefer and taketh it, to him will I give Asha my daughter to wife. And Othniel, the son of Kenaz, the brother of Caleb, took it, and he gave him Asha his daughter to wife. And it came to pass, as she came unto him, that she moved him to ask of her father a field. And she lighted off of her ass, and Caleb said unto her, What wouldest thou? Whoso answereth, Give me a blessing, for thou hast given me a southland. Give me also springs of water. And he gave her the upper springs and the nether springs. All right, ask the Lord to help us this morning. Father, I pray that just for a little while this morning that I may be able to open the lids of this Bible, that I may be able to preach to us a while this morning. I need the touch of God. I need the touch of heaven. Move for us, I pray. In the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Now, when you go back and you read the story of this setting of Scripture, this is the mountain that Caleb had told Joshua that Moses said I could have 45 years ago, and I'm able today to take it. And so he came up to this city that this Kirjath Sefer, and when he came to there, it was a city that was walled. It was a city that had many giants. It was a land that was, it looked like an impossible task. And so Caleb made the decree to the man, amen, that could take this city. I will give him my daughter to wife. There was a young man that desired to have the daughter of Caleb. And so he went in and he took this city. He took it over and overcame it and overthrew it. And he killed the giants and drove them out. And then when he did this, Caleb, of course, amen, he kept his word and gave unto Othniel, his daughter, amen, to marry. At the end, as a token, amen, for their vow or their wedding, Caleb gave them a southland. If you will read that she said to her father, amen, for thou hast given me a southland. And I read this morning a little bit and pulled up and began to look at that southland. And one of the writers of the Bible commentary says that it was a bald mountaintop with a hillside that sloped down to the Arabian desert. That it was a land that was parched. It was a land that was hot. That south wind would blow across that mountain. At the end, the riders could not ever find what there was really of any value, amen, in this southland. But I want you to know what she did. Amen. She came to her father and she said, I need a blessing. I need more than just the southland. I need you to touch me. Amen. Give me all. Also, springs of water. And the Bible said that he gave her the upper springs and the nether springs. And when you read that, history of really what he gave her, and what the commentary said, there was above 14 springs, amen, in that valley that he gave her. And Brother Melvin, instead of a desert land, it was a valley that flowed with water. It was a valley that was green. It was a valley that had grass. She asked him, I need a blessing. And I'm tired of the dry desert, but I need a blessing. I want to preach to you a while this morning, amen, that God, amen, starts every one of his children. You may be in the desert when you start, but I want you to know that immediately when you are adopted by the King, he gives you a blessing. He gives you favor. For we read in the book of Ephesians chapter 1, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath
blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. If you want to think for a moment, understand there's times we have dark days, and there's times we have trials, and there's times that we have tests. But I want you to know that I am a very blessed person this morning, and I am not blessed because of my financial status. I am not blessed because of my race. I am not blessed because of my gender. But I am blessed because I am a child of God. You know, you can look around you this morning. Look around you in all of the world that there is this morning. And people that are bound by their sin. And I want to tell you that right in the midst of that, there is a people that is a blessed people this morning. And it is because He has reigned on us and given us the wonderful blessings of the Lord. I don't understand this morning. I know we've looked and we've talked. I don't understand exactly what is on the horizon for the church. I don't know what's on the horizon for His people. Amen, but I want to tell you something this morning. Amen, that if gas goes to $5 a gallon, God will provide for His children. Do you hear me? I said, God will provide. Oh, I understand sometimes. We talked about building going higher. We talked about utilities going higher. We've talked about a lot of things is changing. But I want to tell you that God has always provided. And God has always moved for His children. I remember, those of you that remember the days. And I was working at the shop, and right after that, quit. But in 79, some of you probably can remember in 75 and 74, amen, the days of lines at the gas station. Younger children, you don't know anything about that probably. Amen, but I remember lines at the gas station. There was hardly any open on Sunday. Some of them closed early in the evening. Amen, and oil was hard to get. Amen, the lines were long at stations. Amen, I know. And then the oil boom died. I mean, in the late 79 and early 80s, I was managing the shop when it had reached its peak, when we were making money head over heels. Amen. I remember trying to hire men, paying them in them days $15 and $16 and $17 an hour. That was an unheard of salary. Come on now, in 79 and 80, that was unheard of. But tried to pay them just to keep men. One day my boss looked at me and he said, there will come a day they'll be beating our doors down begging for a job. But you couldn't hire a man, you couldn't hire one at all. And when we got through, when the oil bust hit, that's the way it was. I'll tell you, men were begging for jobs. But I want to tell you, I knew some men that got laid off of good jobs. Some men that had been faithful to pay their tithes. And some men that had been faithful to support through the good times. And when they lost their jobs, and there were no jobs, God made jobs for them. And God gave them work. Are you hearing me this morning? I'm telling you that our confidence cannot be in this world. It cannot be in man. It cannot be in what you hold. It has to be in God this morning. You have to remember that we are blessed. This morning we are blessed. When I look at men, and last night as I prayed, and I came back home, and when I came in, I took Javon in the house. And then I came to this church to spend a while in here praying. When I came in here to pray last night, and I laid down on this floor and I was talking to God. Amen. Do you realize that there are some this morning, amen, that have taken their inheritance so light. Amen. There are some that have taken what God's given them and they've wrapped it up in a napkin as a man did with the one talent, and they're afraid to do anything with it. Amen. But I want to tell you, there are some, amen, that have taken that blessing that God's given and they've told the world about it, and they've gained others, and they've won others, and they've let their blessing increase. And I'll tell you, the Bible said, and the blessings overtook them. Hallelujah. I said, the blessings overtook them. It is all in the manner and the way that you do and you handle your blessing. Hallelujah. You know, you can always be a grumbler. I told Brent, we did raise the thermostat up to 71. Hey, man, but I want to tell you something. I came home, we about melted. Hey, man, the highest we've seen in 10 days is 64 or 65 degrees in 10 days. We get up in the morning, it's 42 degrees. Hey, man, come on now. I came in with the Blanchard Cap meeting last night. I like to melt it. Davey said that fat iceberg just like to melt it away, did it? I said it almost did. Amen. I'll tell you something. Amen. It's what you do with your blessing. Amen. Some people can sit here and not do anything with it. But I want to tell you this morning, oh God, help me to use what I have. Help me to take advantage of the blessings of God. Oh God, that you and I can realize how blessed we are this morning. Can you imagine her? Now look at it for a minute. Now she owns the Southland. That's hers. She owns now the upper and the nether springs. Now she owns that land that's green. That's land that's luscious. Hey man, the grass is knee high. Hey man, the reeds and the willows are there. Now, can you imagine this girl and her husband saying, well, I don't believe I'll take advantage of this. I believe I'll live over there on the bald side of that old bald mountain. And I'll feel that old hot air coming up from that Arabian desert. And I believe I'll just let this old valley go. That's exactly what some people are doing. Amen. When they can have the blessing of the Lord, they're straddling the fence. They're trying to hang on to the world. They're wanting to have the world and the pleasure of the world, but yet have the blessing of God. I tell you, that's the most miserable life you can be. Do you understand that people that try to hold on to the world and hold on to God at the same time, after a while they are miserable and they're lonely. And after a while, when they find out that all they've got left is merely the world. Come on now. Because you cannot hold a God in the world. After a while, you realize that all you have is the world. And what an awful trade when you trade the Whalewater's Plains, amen, for the bald desert land of the Arabian desert. How sad it is when all you have left is just the world and nothing else. How sad that is when you don't have anything else left. Can you imagine? Brother Charles and I went out on this boat Friday. Or Thursday. There was a young man there, never been married, 23 or 24 years old, I think, he said. And he said that he fished. And he said, when we fished, we'd go out there and stay a week at a time. And they'd fish for halibut, or they'd fish for crab or shrimp, whatever the season was. And Brother Melvin, he said, we'd bring it in and we'd sell it. And he said these words, and I listened to him, and I watched him a little bit. He said these words. He said, but I love to drink. He said, I would come in to Ketchikan, Alaska, where he was from. He said, I made better than $150,000 a year. And he said, I got to realize that all of a sudden that at December, after $150,000 a year, that I was broke. I just drank it away. Partied it away. He said, and I got to look at that, and I said, man, that's pretty stupid. All you're doing is partying it away. That's what the world's doing this morning. The devil's saying you're having a good time. Look at this south wind. Hey, look at this wonderful ball knob where you're living. Hey, look at the southland. It's a wonderful place to live. Hey, but he said, I sat down one day and I said, this is pretty stupid. Amen. I'm going to do something about it. He said, I turned my life around. Hey, man, he said, I started saving that $150,000 a year. He said, when I got enough saved, amen, he was from Norway. He said, I went back into the place of my home. I went back there and I bought me 10 acres and a beautiful home in Norway. And I paid cash for it. One of the most beautiful valleys you've ever seen. Amen. He said, I kept fishing for a few more years. 23 or 24 now, listen to me. He said, I kept fishing until last year I decided it was time to retire. And so he said, I got enough money put back that I retired. And I come here now and I work 3 months during the tourist season giving men tours on this little boat. And when it's over, I'm going back to Norway. Amen. You know what it was? He realized that with his side of his hands was a gold mine. If he'd take care of it, if he would use it, put it to some use. Oh God, I wish we could get our eyes open that inside of this book there is a gold mine and there's treasures untold. If we get our hands on it and open the book and believe God for what he said he would do. The treasures that we have living for God. Too many times we're satisfied with the desert. Hallelujah. Kurt and him's going to California a few weeks and they're driving. And you know, they don't know a lot about California. He's only been there one time with us and then through the Northern California just a little. And so they were getting ready to go and he was talking to me one day. He said to me, my dad was looking at the map the other day and he found this place called Death Valley. They're going the last of July. Amen. He said, have you ever been to Death Valley? I said, no, Kurt, I've never been to Death Valley. He said, well, Dad wants to go there. So I guess we're going to try to go. I said, listen to me. Do you hear me, son? You don't want to go to Death Valley. Not in the middle of July. In the daytime. Do you understand that's why it's called Death Valley? I said, the temperatures will be 120 and above. Come on now. They'll be 120 and above. It'll still be over 100 degrees in the night when the sun goes down. There's a reason it's called Death Valley. Amen. I ought to tell you, you can live in that Death Valley. But I tell you what you can do. You can come out of Death Valley. Come right up over the Tehachapis. And there's a little place when we go to California. There's a little hill right beyond New Mojave. Right before you drop down into that San Joaquin Valley. There is a little place that if I've got time, I like to pull over because you've just came through that desert. Hey man, it's been hot, it's been dry, but there's a place right there in the peak of that mountain that you can look down over that San Joaquin Valley and where the irrigation's at and the snow water runs through that valley. That place that was a desert has become a blessing. Hallelujah. Oh God, help us this morning. That if you're in a desert, I promise that you a spring. I promise that you a river. You can have a blessing this morning from the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Many fail. Many fail to see the blessings of the springs. When we lived at Raisin City, the old man that lived behind us said to me one day out in my garden, he said, preacher, I've never seen a man grow a more beautiful garden than what you've got. My tomato plants were probably 8 or 10 feet high. They got so tall they just fell over, loaded with tomatoes. We planted pepper plants. You've never seen the like of peppers. Sharon and I would pick peppers. Sharon, not a garden person, you know that. But I'd have her get me a box, and we'd set them out by the road. And the Mexicans would come by and pick them up. I'm talking about jalapenos. I'm talking about chili peppers, green peppers. It didn't matter. Hey, man, I mean squash, cantaloupe, strawberries, great. Lord, you ought to see my strawberry patch. Hey, man, go pick. You know what it was? Hey, man, I told that man that lived behind me. I said, I want to tell you something. Hey, man, it was not all I have done is planted. That old saying, Rick Wood was out there, and he said, I've got a rotary tiller. Don't buy one. Come and get mine. So I rotary tilled my garden up, and I said, well, I'm going to keep it for a little while. He said, what do you want to keep it for? I said, well, don't you think it needs to be rotary tilled every once in a while? And he laughed. He said, son, this is California. Hey, you don't need to rotary till it again. Hey, man, just leave it. It's sand. Hey, man, it'll be all right. You don't need to rotary till it. Hey, man, all you need to do is pull a little grass, and that's all. That's all you needed to do. You didn't need to rotary till it. Hey, man, but I want to tell you that years before, Brother Terry Guthrie had moved in that house, and he had gone to the wineries, and he had hauled that great pulp that they threw out from the wineries, and he had hauled cotton seed in there. And he dumped it in that garden, and all that rotting and rotting and rotting until it finally made the soil of great value. That little bit of water, it would grow anything. I tell you, that's the way it is this morning. If you get the water of God on your life, if you take advantage of the river, if you take advantage of the flow, you can grow and you can be prosperous and you can do good for God if you take advantage of the river. You've got to take advantage of the springs. Sometimes we're too satisfied with just the Southlands. Many fail to see the value of the springs. Notice this morning, the springs given to this young man were only given to him because he married Caleb's daughter. Do you hear me? That's the only reason they were given to him, is because he was married to Caleb's daughter, and they were a free gift. Oh, God. Hey, some people try to earn this. Hey, man, but I'll tell you this morning, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. I said, but it's a free gift. It's given to us because we are married to the Son, and because we are betrothed to the Son, because we are coming in fellowship with Jesus Christ. Would you realize this morning that this free gift, I didn't do a thing to deserve it, but it was just the blessing of God. Oh, let me take advantage of it. Let's look for a moment. Hey, man, I wrote down some scriptures. Hey, man, look at the springs through the Word of God. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. What would you like to have this morning? I'd like to have eternal life. The gift of God is eternal life. Amen. Listen to this one. Amen. As Solomon the wise man wrote, as cold waters to a thirsty soul. Amen. So is good news from a far country. As thirsty water, as cool water. Amen. To a thirsty soul. Oh God, help me this morning to realize the blessing and the glory of living for God, and good news that we can be saved in this hour. And then Isaiah wrote, and he said, and they shall spring up among, as among the grass, as willows by the watercourse. Hallelujah. The blessings are going to spring up. Oh, some people said, I'd rather dwell over on the South Mountain. Give me that old South 40. I'm telling you, give me the spring. Give me the spring. You know, you learn how to appreciate things. You older people will know what I'm talking about. You younger people don't even have a clue. And I barely have a clue, but I do understand a little bit about it. You know, when you can go in and turn the faucet and water flows, What a blessing. I can remember my grandparents going down there, and they had a well. And they had a pump. And every day, somebody pumped water. And they carried it in. I can remember Mom giving us a bath at their house. It wasn't no bathtub. It was a wash tub. And you heated the water on a wood stove and dump it in there. And by the time you got the next batch of water hot, the first water was cold. And so in the wintertime, you took a half warm, half cold bath. Come on now. I can remember the windmill on top. You think that's just there for fun, don't you? It looks pretty. But what that windmill did, as I learned as I got older, it was a little deal coming down from that windmill that they'd stick a bolt through there. I can remember going out there one time, and one of my uncles said, "Now listen, because, you know, it's just the right size. You want to stick your finger in there." He said, "That's not the right thing to do. Keep your finger out of there. That will take your finger off." So what you did is you put that pipe that was on that windmill that was going up and down. You put the bolt through there to the top of that pump. And that windmill going around and around would rotate that thing up and down. And it pumped the water for you. And they'd do that to fill the cow trough. Come on now. And then you didn't have to stand there and hand pump it. They thought they were uptown when they got the windmill. Then I can remember when they ran the first water line into the house. Went down there and there was a line running in the house with one spigot sticking out. And you could do the same thing. Let that thing pump and open the faucet and then run water in the house. My, great running water, wasn't it? But to turn it off, you had to go pull the bolt. And then I remember when they got the bathtub set up on legs. And I can remember when they run the spigot into the bathtub. Come on now. People them days knew how to appreciate water. You carried water into the house. They had one dipper hung on the nail beside the water bucket. It's kind of gross thinking about it now. Boy, I'd hate to do it now. And everybody in the house, however many was there, just got them a dipper, stuck it down in, took them a drink, and hung it back up. If there's 30 people in there, you had 30 people drinking out of the dipper. If they dip snuff, you just got a little snuff on the dipper. That's the way it was. Come on now. That's the honest truth now. And you know what? They were happy with that. I'm going to tell you, I'm not going to be happy with that. You hear me? I mean, I like it when you turn it on. Sharon was fussing. It was the weirdest setup I'd ever seen. And I must agree that I didn't know how to operate it either. I mean, I got a half cold and half hot. And what, the first morning I took a shower, I like to burn up on that ship. I couldn't get no cold water. And then I figured out how to get cold water, and I couldn't get hot water. But then the last day, I finally figured it out how it was to operate. And I want to tell you something. Listen to me. I mean, do you realize that there's some of us, I mean, that we're still grumbling? But I want to tell you the same thing that worked at bring revival and bring a move of God. The same thing it took to get a blessing 50 years ago. You can still do it today. It'll still bring a blessing. Hallelujah. I can take you out through the desert right now where there's no electric. And I can show you where the cows, where they still got windmills. And they still got pumps. Amen. And the windmill still turns and still pumps the water for the cows to drink. Oh, thank God for the well. Thank God for the well. Thank God for His blessings. Amen. Oh, upon us today. I'm afraid that sometimes we'd rather have it where we could just turn it on. But sometimes you gotta pray until you reach the victory. Sometimes you have to take advantage of it. It's there for you, but you have to pay the price for the blessing. Amen. The mission of the water in this world is to bless. It is to satisfy. It is to refresh. And it is to help. I heard my dad say to one of my uncles one time, that's bragging about all that fruit in California. My dad said, give us the water supply that you have in Oklahoma. We'll put California to shame on raising fruit. That's almost like an unending supply of water. What was the men learned in that San Joaquin Valley? The snow falls on the mountain. Then as that snow melts, it just runs off. And it's just a waste. What we need to do, and I don't know who the governor was, went in there and built all of them watersheds. And then that massive aqueduct system that flows all the way through that valley. As long as there's snow, there's water. When Sharon and I lived there, it was not uncommon two or three times a year to turn on the radio and hear them say, Los Angeles is flooded out this morning. Water's coming into houses, in some of the houses this morning. And when you listen to that, you think, why in the world, them stupid people? But you see, it didn't happen very often. There wasn't no such thing as a storm sewer in Los Angeles. They don't go through the expense to build it because they only get like 5 or 6 inches of rain a year. In Oklahoma, we have storm sewers. You know why that is? So the rainwater has a place to go so it don't come in our houses. We take care of it. We was in Alaska. We went way up on a high on a mountain in the rainforest to visit a beautiful garden. And while we were there, someone asked the man, how much rain do you get? He said, 96 inches of rain a year. 96 inches of rain a year. Endless supply of water. Hallelujah. Man, when I heard him say that, Brother Chuck, I got to thinking, I wonder how much rain I get a year. I really get as much as I want. He just pours it on me if I want it. If I'm thirsty and I'm hungry, you give it to me. If my soul is dry, it's my fault. Do you hear me? Oh, somebody said, preacher, don't say that to me. I said, if my soul is dry, and if my soul is hard, and I'm living in a desert, it's my fault. Because there are showers of blessings. And if there is a move of God, I can still have the rain. I can still have the blessing if I want the blessing of the Lord. It's power to refresh. And I'm closing. Come on, Sister Brenda. Look at Naaman stepping into that muddy Jordan. Stepping into that muddy Jordan. His skin full of leprosy. There he is, all polluted. Brother Chuck, he steps down into that muddy Jordan. He dips one time and two, and leprosy's still there. Three times and four, the leprosy's still there. But the seventh time he came up, oh, he was fresh as a newborn baby. Glory to God. Oh, that was just a man with leprosy. All right, let's talk about Mary Magdalene. of whom all them devils were cast, that one plunged beneath the flood, lost all of her guilty stains. Come on, let's talk about Zacchaeus. Amen. A tax collector, a thief. Amen. One trip down from the tree and one plunge beneath the blood. Amen. Lost all of his guilty stains. Let's talk about the Philippian jailer in the middle of the night during the earthquake and the jailhouse being opened. One plunge. He lost all of his stains. All of them found that nether springs. All of them found the upper springs. All of them found the place where the blessing of the Lord came out. Hallelujah. Stand with me this morning. And I want to tell you this morning that the invitation still is, whosoever will, let him come. Amen. Is your life at a dead end? Is your life full of turmoil? Amen. This week while we were gone, I thought of that couple Brother Chuck brought a few weeks ago, or a couple of weeks ago, when he said their lives were in shambles. Amen. Their backs were against the wall. Oh, God. I thought of them one day this week while I was praying. And I thought, oh, God, if they could just get to where the blessing's at. Do you know that you may be here this morning? You may be saying, Brother Ricky, I'm on my last leg. Amen. The devil's been after me. I'm fighting a hard battle. I'm telling you, if you'll just get to where the springs are at, if you'll open your cup, if you'll open your arms, if you'll reach heavenward, the blessing of the Lord will come down upon you. Are you thirsty this morning? How long has it been, Sister Edwards said? This morning, she says, seems like it's been a month since we've been to church. I know it does. It seems like I've been out for several weeks almost. But I want to tell you, amen, traveling with Brother Charles Moore was a wonderful privilege. Brother Charles told me when we got to our motel that first morning, when we arrived in Anchorage, the next morning we got up, we went down, we ate breakfast, and after breakfast, Brother Charles said, let's go meet in my room and let's have prayer before we go in the mornings. And so that first morning as we walked and we knelt, oh God, and we felt the presence of the Lord. Amen. I didn't want to take a vacation from God. I wanted his blessings on me while I was there. Amen. I wanted to come home with his blessings. I want to live with his blessings. Amen. I want to live in that valley that flows with springs. I'll tell you, sometimes the devil gets you to looking at the Southland. And he tells you what a thrill it is over there and how wonderful a time they're having. But ask him when it's all said and done, and when I stand before God, if the world's all I have, what a sorry trade that is. And I can have the blessing of the Lord, and I can have eternal life, and I can have the joys of living for God right now. And what a trade, and what a life, and what a thrill. What a thrill this morning. I can live in that valley. And Brother Chuck, I can have the upper and the nether springs. I'd have them flowing through my life. Then I was reading this morning a scripture and I didn't put it in my notes. But I believe I'll close with a scripture. When that great day of the feast was come, and Jesus stood and cried with a loud voice, if any man thirst, let him come. If any man thirst, let him come. And then maybe I ought to finish with, Brother Chuck, your family can be fed from the stream. But you know where the stream needs to come from? It really needs to come from you. For out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. Glory. Let me ask you, Brother Chris, if it flowed out of you, amen, through your family, and it flowed out of your wife through your family, and we could get it flowing through Jesse, and then flowing through Eli, and then flowing through Christopher, I wonder what kind of family life we would have if the river would flow through all of us. Oh, hallelujah. What blessings could we have if every one of us were dedicated? Brother Derwin, look how much greater blessing you'd be than all the rest of us, because you have so many more little rivers. How wonderful your family could be if rivers were flowing and blessings were flowing and we were rich with the blessing of the Lord. We can have it this morning. We can have it this morning. Praise the Lord. Come on with me to the altar and let's pray this morning. If you need a touch of the Lord, come with us this morning. Amen. If you're needing God to do something in your life, come on this morning. There is a fountain this morning that looking for a place to go. Hey, there's a water tonight, this morning, looking for a channel. If somebody will hear my voice, amen, I'll create in thee, oh, my river. Come on, let's pray this morning.